Your journey begins in what appears to be an ordinary glade. Ordinary green grass and ordinary honey-coloured flowers that gleam under a friendly sun. A smattering of ordinary trees rustling in the wind. Chirping birds and the splashes of calm waters from the shore nearby. All pleasant, yes, but ordinary. You tread the photonic trail marked on your map, thinking that perhaps this adventure you embark on may be simple and straightforward after all. In no time will you be able to call yourself Master of Light. But you are wrong. For as you take a single step forward under a pair of particularly twisty old oaks, the landscape transforms in a blink to something rather extraordinary. That's the only word you can use to describe it. Where the oak trees were a commonplace pair a moment before, they now harbour what appear to be dozens of tiny homes built right into them. Homes with brightly lit windows, intricately carved balconies, and spiralled staircases. The homes are arranged in two coloured clusters, one of pink and red, and one of blue, yellow, and green. By your feet, a miniature brook babbles under a bridge no wider than your palm, and it runs alongside a little clearing that is decorated with strings of lanterns the size of pennies, an assortment of flower arrangements, and moss draping. At the centre of the clearing are four lustrously polished marble pedestals that do not carry anything. The whole village appears to bloom with radiant flowers, the likes of which you have never seen before. Flowers that match one of the two housing clusters, though never both. Flowers that appear to move and dip and dart around the trees and fly. It takes a moment for you to register that the flowers are not flowers at all, but creatures with tiny faces and even tinier wings where their shoulder blades would be. A word surfaces from the depths of your memories, even as you gasp in realization. Fairies. You have stumbled upon Parryhaven, a fairy village. Some fairies flitter about, fussing over decorations. Others play lutes and harps and more, a medley of instruments. Yet others frolic and dance and twirl. But what catches your eye is the largest group of them all, gathered around the empty pedestals in the clearing. Fairies of warm colours to one side, fairies of cooler colours on the other. Above the pedestals, swirling upwards in the air in a manner too aggressive to be a dance, are the two largest fairies of all, each matching one of the two groupings of colours. They seem to be arguing, but their voices are too soft, too flute-like for you to decipher the words. That's Mama Rosia and Papa Neil, the heads of the two families, doing what they do best, says a voice. A green fairy with trailing yellow eyebrows, who appears no older than a teen, hovers above your right shoulder. He rolls his eyes to punctuate his words. Every day it's the same old story, the same old fight, agrees another fairy, this one a bright crimson, flittering above your left shoulder. She sighs. You'd think they enjoy it. Think of all the extra time we'd have to celebrate if they weren't always arguing, says the green fairy. What are you celebrating, you ask, curious and awed by these blithe creatures? The two fairies look at you as though you've suddenly grown a second head. Why, Tuesday, of course, says the crimson fairy. And tomorrow we celebrate Wednesday, the green fairy chimes in. You mask a chuckle at their incredulity with a cough. The two introduce themselves as Fleep, with a PH, of the Blue Windrunners, and Tok of the Red Petal Pourers, secret best friends forever, in their words. They whiz around your head, spilling their woes of living in a fairy village where there is such feuding between two families. What is their feud over? Why, decorations of all things. Every hour, Mama Rosia sends someone to rearrange the four statuettes on the pedestals. Every other hour, Papa Neil sends someone to revert the statuettes to his preferred arrangement on the pedestals. This carries on, day after day, and all the fairies in the village are left shaking their fingers at one another in accusation. You also learn that even though you are practically a giant to them who have stumbled upon their village, the other fairies pay you no heed, because they assume you cannot see them, hidden as they usually are from human eyes. At this you exclaim, "Why then can I see Parryhaven, and why then do you speak to me?" Fleep and Tok exchange smiles that can only be described as sneaky. But before you can open your mouth to ask them just what they are up to, Fleep stuffs a mushroom into your mouth, and Tok clamps your lips shut with surprising strength, and you have no choice but to chew and swallow. At once, Fleep, Tok, the trees, the houses, the brook, the clearing, grow, grow, grow around you, with such speed that you stumble back in dizziness. The two fairies, who are now the same size as you are, steady you before you have a chance to fall. Then it hits you like a slap in the face. They are not big at all. You are their size. How on earth are you going to traverse the photonic trail to become a master of light now? Your heart races. The two whisk you towards the clearing, grinning widely and ignoring your loud objections and attempts to flee. "As feisty as a dragon, this one," Fleep comments to Tok under his breath. "Got any fun memories we can placate the human with?" Tok whispers back. The two laugh as if Tok has made the cleverest of jokes, but you cannot see the humour in her comment or how it even makes sense at all. They push you through the gathered fairies, who watch the familiar argument play out above them. When you reach the four pedestals, you notice four statuettes lying on the ground, oddly shaped and unidentifiable, but beautiful nonetheless. The two quarrelling heads of family notice you, and boy, are they furious. "Fleep, you brought a human to Parryhaven? This is just like you, Tok. How very irresponsible you are." Gasps and whispers erupt through the crowd. As the fusillade of accusations continues, your forehead beads with sweat. You shift from one foot to another, and you contemplate fleeing, even as Papa Neil threatens to lock you up. Fleep and Tok raise their hands to quiet the crowd. "This human may be able to help," Fleep says. "We figured we needed an outside perspective," Tok adds. "Let this traveller arrange the statuettes in a manner that pleases you both," says Fleep. He shoots you a sly grin before continuing. "And if this proves unsuccessful, you can do whatever you want with the human." You very much object to this, but you don't say anything. You would rather not dig your own grave. Mama Rosia and Papa Neil graciously yet sceptically agree to these conditions, and now it seems you have no choice but to lend a decorating hand. Your task is this, traveller. There is only one optimal configuration for the statuettes on the pedestals. Find it, or be forever at the mercy of the fairies in Parryhaven.